Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
53 degrees, sunny skies in Central Park. We now take you out to the Bronx.
Yeah.
We join the Aaron Boone press conference in progress.
Definitely the timing, just in a lot of ways, it was a tough year to get to the place we wanted to get to as a club. And I really felt like we got there in the final 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it was, where everyone was kind of coming together at the right time. I feel like, we had different ways of beating you on a given night. We were healthy for the most part going in, with at least who we started the year with. And then just, ran into a Toronto club that beat us. We couldn't. They ended up scoring a ton of runs against us in the four games that we played them and just couldn't keep them off the board and end up losing a series. So, it makes it very tough. Obviously the year before we get to the World Series, a very different team in a lot of ways than we were this year. Also a very good club that I felt was capable of winning it all. If a couple things go a different way and, so those – that makes it especially tough, I think, when you get to the end, when you feel like, man, you have a team that could have gone deep and could have matched up and played with anyone. But we got beat, and we just had a hard time, obviously, keeping them off the scoreboard in the series. They put it on us off from an offensive standpoint, and we didn't have a good enough answer.
And when you reflect on that Blue Jays series, what are the plays, the sequences, the decisions, or even the non-decisions that stay with you the most?
Yeah, look, I think them just continuing to pressure us and right from the jump, I felt like, we're behind in games. And, and that's in part a big credit to them. They whether it was hitting the ball out of the ballpark against us, whether it was putting the pressure on us by just continuing to work counts and putting the ball in play, they beat us. And, you always, just comes down to, they out-execute us and outplayed us.
Eric and Andy, to the right.
Aaron, what's your understanding for the recovery time for Volpe? Will he have a normal spring training, or will he come in a little bit
behind? Probably a little behind. The schedule would be for him to start hitting in 4 months, which would put us at, middle of February. So at the start of spring, he'll start hitting. The last thing, but he can't dive on it or anything until 6 months is kind of the... But I think we'll also have a better idea at the 3-4 months if that timeline moves up a little bit, if it delays a little bit. But right now it's 4 months until he's swinging, until he's hitting again. So my expectation that he would be delayed to start the season or starting a rehab assignment when we're starting the season. But we'll have a better idea of that in probably 3-4 months in as it heals.
And then, to your knowledge, any of your other guys scheduled to have any off-season procedures, specifically Aaron Judge with the elbow?
Judgey is not. He actually had an MRI after the season, showed continued improvement in the flexor muscles. So, and he finished the season doing pretty well. So no surgery is going to be needed for Aaron. He'll take some time off and continue to, do strengthening things and rehab and stuff. But felt like he finished the season in a pretty good place as we saw continued improvements with him. As far as other procedures, Carlos Rodon had a scope of the elbow yesterday to get some loose bodies, and I think they shaved down a spur, bone spur. So So he'll go into now into an 8 week of no throw, which probably when you build in all the ramp up and the throwing program into, you know, getting him ready to be a starting pitcher, probably delays him potentially a couple weeks to start the season. But everything went well yesterday. He had the surgery out in L.A. with Eletrage. And so for now, he's 8 weeks no throw, and then he'll start his ramping up in the middle of December, his throwing program.
Andy. So given what you just learned about Judge, is there any question at all that he's your full-time right fielder next year? Is there any consideration of any other position?
No, I expect him to be our right fielder, yes.
And then more bigger picture question. It's probably more appropriate after a couple of days to reflect on your season ending. Different seasons ending cause different reactions, emotional reactions. For example, 2019 seemed like a particularly emotional one. How did this one land for you in the room, for the team? I know it was difficult, but what was unique about this particular one?
Yeah, I mean, 19 was tough because, you know, 19 was such a special year in that we were beat up so bad, and it was a lot of people that you didn't expect playing major roles for us. But then, you know, we went into the postseason having a real opportunity. Some real competitive games with Houston that you end up going home. It was tough. Last year, obviously, getting the World Series and it ending the way it did was tough. But again, this year, in a lot of ways, very tough just because of the things I stated down the stretch and even here today is how good I felt about this group and what they became and how much they came together. And you know, I really thought of the closeness that they built as a team and how they really played for one another, leaned on each other. But just I felt like the well-rounded nature of our club at the end, you know, made it difficult. You know, there's other years where we had great in 22, but we were a little bit of a shell of ourselves going into the postseason. So it was different. So it's tough because I feel like, you know, we had a really, really great team, and that, you know, adds a level of sting to it that, you know, I carry them all with me, you know. And the ending always hurts. This one for different reasons and for what I felt about this group and what they became.
Can we go right down the line, Ron?
For Volpe, what was the surgery? Was it just repairing the labrum? Was there else who operated?
Yeah, that's why I have my paper here. Left shoulder arthroscopic labral repair. So it's just that, yeah.
And who operated? Was it Ahmad? Or?
Dr. Ahmad.
Okay. And for Stanton, does he need any tests or anything on the elbows?
No, he's in a pretty good place. He'll treat it and everything, but nothing expected for Big G.
And it should be normal, or so you don't have the same worry of last winter?
I don't have that same, but I never want to speak in absolutes like that, but feel like we're in a pretty good spot going into the winter.
Bruce.
Aaron, you said you're capable of winning it all, but how do you make it happen? I know it's, you know, it's in big terms and everything else, but how does this team get over the hump and do what they haven't done since 2009?
Yeah, I mean, it's just playing at the highest level at the most important time. And you've got to maintain that and do that for the entire month of October. You know, whether it's out executing clubs, whether it's just being better than them and on the bump and in the batter's box, it comes down to, you know, this time of year, it's usually, you know, it's competition in a game between high level clubs, and you gotta outplay them, and we haven't done that yet to the highest level.
Chris,
now knowing how serious Volpe's injury was, do you have any second guessing of playing him as often as you did?
No.
And why? Because his production obviously was limited offensively and defensively. After the trade deadline, you had a replacement available on the bench, so why wouldn't you have gone to him knowing just what he was going
through. Yeah, I mean, even going into this winter, like, surgery wasn't a certainty. It was do we do this surgery? And really what it comes down to is we have this time now, and Anthony ultimately deciding, like, because there's things that you can that he does to it over the course of the year that aggravate it, right? I think for the overwhelming majority of the year, it was not affecting his play. There were things like he would dive on in a certain way, tick it off, aggravate it. I think in some ways the injury probably got a little bit worse towards the end of the year based on a couple of episodes that happened, but I don't think it was impacting performance. And this is something that, you know, you can play with and play through, but the finality of getting it fixed now hopefully frees him up to, like, you know, really go dive on it the way he's going to dive on it and make those next level of plays that Anthony makes. And then hopefully, because you're fixing something that is, you know, hurt on the body, that hopefully, you know, it does help performance too, like go to another level.
Gary. It was reported that Harkey and Travis Chapman are not coming back. Just what prompted those decisions and any other staff changes that we should be aware of?
Pat Russler too, who's we're still seeing if, you know, there's some other role or whatever, but he will not be back in the same capacity. Just look, every year there's difficult choices to make, and in the case of Chappie, you know, has done a lot of great things in this organization through player development and then coming up and impacting our club up here. So those are hard decisions. In the case of Mike Harkey, a guy who's been here for so long and has been, you know, kind of an institution with us and has been in the middle of a lot of winning with us and has impacted our organization in tremendous ways and is one of my best friends. You know, so those are awful days to go through. And both guys that I have a ton of respect for, and ultimately the organization needs to make difficult decisions sometimes as, you know, you move forward as an organization. So, you know, we'll – and then we obviously have a couple of guys that are interviewing for managerial jobs out there, so we'll see how that impacts. Obviously, you know, if they're moving on by chance, you know, how that impacts us. Obviously, we'd have to replace certain things, but you know, we've got a couple of spots for right now that we have to replace, and we'll see moving forward if there's more.
Just following up on that, is Jake Hurst joining
the staff? Jake Hurst will be, yes. Jake Hurst, who's been in player development, I think, since 18, whether it's been in a coordinator's role or at affiliate, you know, has really had a lot of success in our organization and has earned this opportunity. Another guy that was, you know, had some big league opportunities with other clubs that, you know, we had to make some decisions on and move on rather quickly. So excited that we'll be adding Jake to the staff, to our hitting group.
That's assistant hitting coach.
What's that?
That's assistant hitting coach.
Yeah, he'll be one of the assistants. Yeah.
Thanks.
Dave.
Aaron, after eight years of doing this job, I assume you consider yourself a better manager now than you were when you started. I'm just wondering, how frustrating is it for you personally that you haven't been able to get this team where you've wanted it to go? And what have you done since then, since the season has ended, maybe talking with Cash or maybe what you've thought about that you can do better as a manager going forward? If there is something that you can think of.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly reflect, hit your touch points. You know, I've talked to Cash a lot. Kind of lick your wounds here these last few days, kind of, yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I do think I'm much better. Like, I look back at this year and think, you know, obviously we needed to win one more game to win the division. And, you know, so I think back to you know, the time where we went through a stretch where we were really struggling. And, you know, like I feel like just because we were really beat up in the bullpen and not whole, and it was obviously before we made the deals at the deadline, like could I have been more creative in some of the things, you know, that I could have done in those games in the middle of the season where, you know, we were a little short, frankly. But, you know, should I have been a little more bold with some ideas and thoughts that, you know, maybe help net us a game here along the way. You know, I think that's what eats at me a little bit. So, and then, you know, as you start to go forward in the winter, you have these conversations and you start to build and mold your team, and try and think of ways where you can get better and improve. And then obviously how your roster takes shape, you know, kind of determines what kind of team you're going to mold it into trying to be. So this year was different in that we became a much more athletic, I feel like, well-rounded group. And hopefully that continues to be the case, but also where we add the right pieces that, you know, help us do get over that hump.
BT and Sal on the fan, you're listening to Aaron Boone's year-end press conference.
Is your starting shortstop going into next year?
Yeah. I mean, he's right in the mix to do that. So I think one of the things that I'm proudest about for Anthony is, you know, obviously it was a very tough season, you know, for him in a lot of ways. And I think he got a lot of, you know, arrows thrown his way. And I always feel like he handles those things so well. And really for the first time since he's been here, because I think it's important to know like how good a defender he's been. And he went through a stretch of 4 to 6 weeks where he struggled on that side of the ball. He made some, you know, errors that he shouldn't have made, some key spots where he made some mistakes. I think it's really important to note that how well he played on defense the final 6, 8 weeks of the season, very much in line with who he's been in the 3 years that he's been our shortstop. So the defense, I feel like, really returned to a level that we've come to know with Volpe after going through some tough moments there in the middle of the season. You know, the offense is, you know, really in line with what he's done the first 2 years. It's looked a lot of different ways, but you kind of look up the same, and it's been that kind of same OPS, whether the average has been lower, there's been more power in some years. You know, for him to become, you know, that frontline shortstop, you know, that's got to improve. You know, he understands that. We understand that. And hopefully he has that opportunity to continue to do that. I also think it's important to note, and we talk about this around different players and different things throughout the year, like he's 24 years old. There's a lot of guys, first-round picks, first picks. We see in this game all the time, it's just not this linear trajectory all the time where you get to the big leagues and you're the guy that's supposed to be. And, you know, the reality is he's a really talented player that works his butt off, that has tremendous makeup, tremendous toughness, and is a great person in our room. And I'm going to bet on that. You know, that said, it hasn't happened, offensively speaking, to the level it needs to yet. But doesn't mean it won't get there. You know, I think Zill and I were talking, you know, Dansby Swanson, who's become obviously one of the game's, you know, very similar start to his career offensively. It doesn't always just happen right away. So continue to work alongside him and hopefully, you know, get him to that point. But we'll see how, we'll see how the roster takes shape, though, this winter and, you know, see where we go.
Pete and Jorge.
Aaron, do you see Jason Dominguez being more or less an everyday player for you next season? And how would you assess how he handled the second half where he didn't play all that much?
Yeah. I would expect him to be right in that mix, to be that guy, and still really like his ceiling. I think he did a lot of really good things this year. As far as handling But again, you got to see where the winner takes you and what the roster looks like. I expect him to be a regular player for us, though. I think he did a lot of really good things this year. I think, obviously, defensively, left field continues to be a work in progress. That being said, I think he's made tremendous strides out there as well. And I think we can all envision him becoming a very good defender out there, just with his athleticism, his speed, his arm strength, the work he's put into it. So we saw strides there. I think we all see the ability he presents at the plate from both. He didn't hit for massive power this year, but I think we would all acknowledge, like, feel like the power's in there. You know, he's a guy that can hit the ball and drive it out to all fields from both sides of the plate. Right-handed, obviously continues to be a side of the plate that he needs to continue to improve on. But I think a lot of that has to do with his lack of experience. You know, being a very young man, he hasn't played a ton of minor league seasons just through different injuries and stuff, which where's that affected the most? The right side of the plate where you get less at bats. I do feel like he has the ability right-handed. It's his natural side. You watch him, you know, just in BP and things like that, he's got power the other way. It's very similar. I think it's just an experience thing. But I think he has a chance to really hit. I think he has a chance to become a good defender as well. That's the area he's got to improve on the most, though. We saw really the impact he can have on the base paths. You know, I think he became more than just fast. I think he got better and better at the at stealing bases, and that became, you know, he was a big part of, you know, why we became more well-rounded and more versatile with his ability to do that. As far as how he handled things, great. JD's a really good teammate, and if you're around, you guys that are around him every day, like, he's got an amazing way about him and disposition about him. Like, he's always kind of the same guy. There's a real consistency in who he is, whether he's going really great and doing great or whether he's losing playing time at the end of the year and down the stretch. He was ready to go every day. He was prepared every day. And he was more, just as important, the same person and teammate every single day. And that's something that I admire about him. But, you know, there's improvement to be had there for him. He knows that. But I think this season showed us that we can still very much dream on the kind of high-end player we think he could be.
Corey.
Will Jason play winter ball by any chance?
I think that's the hope, yes. So we haven't finalized anything yet, but hoping that, yeah, he does play some winter ball.
And just back to Volpe, can you shed some light on, like, the maintenance that was required with this injury, you know, the work with the training room, what was happening behind the scenes, and how was his communication with you in terms of the pain that he felt? What was he going through?
Yeah, good. I think communication with the trainers and with me was really good. So it really, most days, was not impacting him in any way. There were a couple of incidents in the course of the year, the one in May where he dove. There were a couple other of those late in the year that aggravated it, like whether it be diving on it or something, but for the most part, you know, he was in a good spot. Now, I think towards the end he was protecting on certain ways he wouldn't dive on it, but as far as, I think, swinging the bat and you know, moving around, I don't think it was a big issue. You know, that being said, hopefully the fact that he has got this fixed does hopefully help, you know, it just in his overall performance, that, you know, whether that little bit on the margins that, you know, as being that much more healthy, hopefully impacts his performance too.
And just with Jason, with winter ball, do you guys see him as a center fielder? You guys see him as, where do you guys see him in your outfield?
I see him in left.
And yeah, that's where he'll play in winter ball.
Yeah.
Take a few more. Chris, you had one. Joel.
Do you have an update on Garrett and his recovery process?
Yeah, Garrett's doing well. He will, I think he starts getting off the mound a little bit lightly next week. And then I think he'll have a, at some point here in the next few weeks, he'll have a deload back off session. He'll meet with Eletrage again when he goes back to California, probably sometime next month, and then before spring training. But he's on track to hopefully, in spring training, at some point in spring training, hopefully we'll see him on the mound starting to face live hitters and start that progression and that ramp up. But so far, everything's going according to plan.
Is he in play for opening day?
I wouldn't say, no, not opening day. But, you know, hopefully not too far after.
Joel.
Clark's also doing well. I think he's 14 weeks post-op. So I think he'll start his throwing program in mid-December. I don't know what the final timeline he's more second half of the season, obviously. But, yeah, he's doing well.
Aaron, you said something like you have to outplay them, you know, at that time of year, and mm-hmm. you haven't yet. And you've offered something like that pretty much each time we're in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
What would make people believe that a team put together by the people who have been putting this team together, managed by you, with Judge as a centerpiece, will ever actually figure out a way to get to the finish line first?
I don't know. I mean, the reality is we've had a really, really good club in certain years, probably one of the best clubs in the league. But all I know is it's time to dust ourselves off and try and build another club that puts us in position to take a run again. So, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I think we have a lot of really good people here, both a lot of really good players, a lot of really good staff members, and a great front office that are working our tails off to put us in the best position to take our shot every year and to take a run in October and to get to October baseball and play for it. So, you know, I can't answer that because I haven't got this team to the top of the mountain. So until I do, all I can tell you is I'm confident in my ability to lead this team. I'm confident in our organization to build the team that gives us a chance to win. But ultimately, that's, you know, I can't tell you anything to make you feel good that, you know, ultimately it's about us winning number 28. And all I can tell you is I'm working my butt off to try and be a part of helping us bring that back.
Oh, Gary.
With Ben, do you see him as your first baseman next year, or would he continue in this kind of unique hybrid role where he's catching sometimes too?
Yeah, I definitely see him as that first baseman. But again, like, I don't know where's our roster go this winter. So, does he become that, our first baseman and our third catcher? Is he our second catcher? Like, I don't know yet. But I know we feel like we've got a true middle-of-the-order bat that's also capable of catching. But, again, we'll see where the roster goes. The one good thing is, you know, for as good a hitter as he's become, and, you know, we feel like going to be one of our anchors in the middle, he brings some flexibility with him, which when you go into the winter and you're trying to build a team and build a roster out, you know, that flexibility is important and helpful and of value. So we'll see how it shakes out. The one thing I expect is that, you know, he'll be a key cog in the middle of our lineup day in and day out.
So last one, Ron.
As you watch all these other games on TV now and look at those teams, do you see anything that they have that you would want for this team to get to that level, or is it just a matter of what you have executing in the big spots?
I mean, I'm envious that obviously when teams are still playing, you know, that's, you know, they're down to the final four and you're not one of them. That, but there's certain qualities about every team that are real strengths. You know, every team even going still has some weaknesses, right? You know, ultimately it's about trying to accentuate your strengths and mask some of your weaknesses or improve on some of those weaknesses. But then it comes down to execution in these games between, you know, excellent clubs. So, every year's different, every club's different, you know, every journey and circumstances are different. You're trying to optimize your group as much as you can and get the most out of guys as much as you can. And it doesn't have to look one way. It doesn't have to, you know, there's teams that win it all, you know, with certain overwhelming strengths. There's certain teams that win it all with, you know, very few weaknesses. I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. A lot of different ways to build your team to put yourself in that position. And you have to have that flexibility year in and year out going into the winter as you build your team to try and be that team that's the last standing.
Is the beard something new that's staying or just for this week?
No, it's just winter.
All right, thanks, Aaron.
Yep. All right, so there you have it with Aaron Boone. That was the appetizer. The main event will be Brian Cashman. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Interesting. Pretty interesting stuff here. We're going to obviously get to it all. So what are we doing? We're going to keep it. We're going to get a break here. We'll react to it more, as Sal said, obviously get to Cash coming up next on the Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's go back out to Yankee Stadium. Brian Cashman about to address the media for the first time since the season ended.
Hey, Brian. I know I don't have to remind you that obviously you started with the Yankee organization under George Steinbrenner, and he always had the World Series mandate. So after a season where you won 94 games, succeeded in the wild card round, but fell short in the division series round, how would you describe this season?
We've had success and failure. Obviously failed in our ultimate goal and had some success, obviously, along the way. We had a good team that but fell short of our ultimate goal. So, you know, I leave it for the masses to debate, you know, what it ultimately came out of. Proud of a lot of things we accomplished and players that we, you know, I knew that they were fighting. They were talented, they were fighting, they were committed, and but wasn't good enough.
Last year, after the season ended in the way that it did, you guys had a checklist of things you wanted to change. Better defense, better base running, more athleticism, more swing and miss pitchers. And you achieved the various degrees of success in those areas. What do you feel is on the checklist for improvements team-wide this year?
Yeah, every winter, you know, and summer, so both opportunities for acquisitions to make adjustments for your team. You're trying to attack areas of weakness, and every year that's different. So therefore, every year the team is different. You know, I thought obviously we had some successes from the winter into the summer to try to, you know, go to market and make adjustments and bring in some personnel that, you know, could reinforce areas that needed help and. And you know, which increased our chances, improved the club. We haven't had our pro scouting meetings yet with our front office about the available markets currently that is upon us. You know, but I know the intent will be the same. We'll look to attack our areas of weakness to the best of our abilities with what's available, and hope our strengths remain our strengths, what they happen to be, so we can go ahead and try to take another shot.
Bruce.
Brian, what's your message to the fans who are hungry for a world championship?
We're just as hungry, just as disappointed. That's really the message.
What do you want to tell them about going forward and how you plan to try to get them that title?
I mean, I think on a year-in and year-out basis, we try to do everything we possibly can to put ourselves in a position to believe that we have a chance to be ultimately world champs once again, and have, you know, our fans think that and believe that, and obviously have the people covering us believe that, and then take our shot, you know. But while we're taking our shot for the teams that we've put together that have actually qualified for the postseason, you know, you're still, you know, you're a prize fighter getting into the ring with another prize fighter, and you got to be on your A game, or you're going to take a punch that's going to knock you out. And unfortunately, you know, this year that knockout punch hit in the division series.
Eric and Joel.
Brian, you said, talking about attacking areas of weakness, from where you sit, what are your areas of weakness going into the off season?
You know, I'm not going to unpack that today. We'll have some free agency that's going to hit. That'll create some vacancies. We have, you know, got to weigh the available marketplace via free agency or trades with the committed payroll versus the available payroll thereafter. You know, and again, measure opportunities. Some players are, you know, knocking on the door, earning the right maybe to take the next step from down below. Obviously, at the same time, just trying to weigh what's available to us and if we can get our hands on it, you know, in competition via trade or free agent dollars.
And then when Aaron was in here talking about the staff changes, he said organizationally decided to go in a different direction. And in your eyes, what made those staff changes, with specifically with Harkey and Chapman, necessary or needed?
Yeah, every year I'm charged with making some tough decisions. We have good people and unfortunately, and friendships too. But I have to assess everything in the present, and where we, you know, go as we move forward. And, you know, again, our staff is, you know, they work in tandem with each other in conjunction with our player group. And I just have to make tough decisions. So no one was per se terminated. These were expiring contracts the question is, are we going to offer a new opportunity moving forward? So I've made those decisions to make some changes and open up to evaluate opportunities in the marketplace to see if, we can find some fits as we move forward into 2026 that make us better. But that's not to take away from the staff that I let go, who had obviously gave us a lot of great contributions along the way at the same time.
Joel.
Cash,
to the right.
You said if you're not on your A game, you get knocked out. Do you think anything could be done specifically for October, whether it's in leadership, decision making, who's managing, coaching, the type of player you have, that would change the fate specifically in October?
I think that question might be a little too simple, and I don't even know if that's the right way to maybe clap back at that, but. Listen, like this division series, you know, we got through the wild card matchup with Boston this postseason. You know, last year we got to the World Series. We get into the division series. Some guys, what I'm trying to, I guess, frame is you have to fire in all cylinders. That means you got to pitch to the best of your abilities consistently. That clearly didn't happen in the Toronto series. And you got to hit to your best of your abilities with every, you know, the sample sizes are so small that, you know, when opportunities present themselves, you have to capitalize. Some guys who consistently hit in the postseason, you know, didn't hit in the division series. Some guys people question whether they can hit in the postseason did produce. You need it all at the same time. You need everybody from your rotation to your bullpen to your start position player group on the lineup side. You know, you know, to bring your A game. And that's why I use the prize fighter. I think it was teed up, you know, the intent, the ability, but you're going against another championship caliber, capable opponent. And if they are able to neutralize one of your, you know, one or many of your personnel, you know, during that series, and so you're not optimizing every opportunity and, you know, putting your best foot forward. It's competition, so it's no guarantee. Just because you have a big name and you have big numbers and you're consistently putting up, you know, quality performances, and even, you know, you're still matching up against somebody else trying to get you out or trying to pound you into the their bullpen. So, you know, it just kill or be killed. And I don't think that our guys aren't tough enough. I mean, our teams change every year. You know, you got new personnel, whether it's different relievers, different starters, different, you know, a third of our offense was changed this year, you know, maybe a little bit more, you know, with the additions of Goldschmidt / Rice, you know, the evolution of Ben, you know, obviously Ben Rice with the combination of the Goldschmidt, you got, you know, the Bellinger addition, Grisham, become an everyday force that he did this year. You know, that's a third of your lineup right there. Obviously, Ryan McMahon joined us late, you know, hitting, you know, in the seventh, eighth, or ninth hole, wherever Booney was putting him. That's a lot of turnaround, a lot of different guys that you didn't have prior. And again, you try it. You had different guys in the pen, you know, you try it. You had different guys in the rotation, you try it. And, you know, and it, in many cases, you know, looked good enough, is capable. But again, it just fell short in at the time when we could not solve the Toronto Blue Jays this year. They rolled us in the regular season. They rolled us in the postseason. And, you know, but bottom line, we didn't earn the right to move forward. It's as simple as that. I don't think it's about leadership. I don't think it's about, you know, I just think it's about competition, you know, at a given moment in time. And, you know, so, and it's for you and then the fans, obviously, that support us to judge it one way or the other.
Pete and Deesha.
Cash, would you view securing Bellinger this winter as a top priority for you?
He was an impact player for us. I'm glad we got him. Certainly expect him to opt out. I don't know. We haven't gotten to those conversations yet. You know, we're in the HR version of our, winter so far. We will be scheduling all our internal discussions on roster assessments player-wise and then again, you know, looking what we have from within and exploring what we have outside. And but I can just tell you, he was really impactful for us, no question about it. One of the many reasons why, you know, we, you know, were in a position to believe that, you know, we were capable of great things this year when the dust settled. And so I thank him for everything he's done, and certainly we'd love to have him with our team, you know, moving forward, but we haven't had any of those discussions. I haven't had any conversations with Scott Boras, but Bouquet is his way, without a doubt. He helped us on both sides of the ball, offense, defense. He's a versatile player. He was great in our clubhouse, and so, but, you know, all that's yet to come.
Deesh, back right.
Just how do you make sense of the mental and defensive lapses carrying over into this year in the biggest moments, and what can you realistically do to address that?
Forgive me, the mandola?
Mental and defensive lapses.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think it's all part of a season, that comes. In New York, it's louder. We certainly do a lot of deep dives on the base running allegations as our team, you know, a terrible base running team. Well, it's not necessarily supported. We're actually, in theory, one of the best base running teams in the game and ran into the, you know, fewer amount of outs compared to other clubs this year. Not the fewest, but we're on the low end of that stuff. And if anything, you know, I think the first half of the season, you know, compared to the second half of the season in terms of aggressiveness, first to third, second to home, base stealing, I think you saw it ramp up more. I think that had more reflection of, you know, we had the personnel to do more on the pass, and I think that we started taking advantage of it in the second half more because I think some of our personnel were battling through some things while playing every day. And then once Booney felt more comfortable to start pushing that button on some guys, you know, once they were feeling better with it, you start, and then obviously our personnel changed. We get Caballero and the trade deadline, stuff like that. You started seeing us take advantage and being better at the base pass. But there were circumstances that play louder in New York when you get guys. I remember clearly the Fenway Park series with guys running from second to third with less than two outs on a ground ball to left side. Those, you know, can't happen, but they do. They happen here. They happen elsewhere. And again, you don't want to underreact to it. And you don't want to overreact to it. And it's why you spend some time to make sure you compare where you're at with others, and that the conversations that need to be had are still being had regardless. It's, you know. So you said, and then the physical errors. Yeah, I mean, you got to do the work and put it out there. And thought we were a better defensive team this year, more athletic, and I think it played out that way. I thought we were converting more balls into outs than we had prior, and that gave us a better chance to, you know, listen, last year we lost a big player in free agency and a lot of questions how we're going to replace it. So we came back, we were a different team, tried to adjust, you know, the areas of weakness that you try to address every year. Some winners you can, depending on the markets, you can address it better than others. Thought we were able to address a lot, which allowed us to, you know, put ourselves back in a position to dream big. So again, whatever our areas of deficiencies are, we will continue to try to attack them to limit mistakes, force mistakes on your opponent, you know, and be an offensive force as well as one of the better teams on the defensive run prevention side, including your pitching staff. So
go to the left, Gary, Chris.
Throughout the season, Anthony and Aaron said that Volpe's shoulder injury didn't have much of an impact on his performance. Do you agree with that assessment?
And did you? Anthony said, and I'm sorry, there's two guys. Meaning
Anthony and Aaron Boone. Okay. Both said that Volpe's injury didn't impact his performance much. Do you agree with that assessment? And if so, what makes you think he can be a positive contributor post surgery?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I personally think now I'll start leaning more into that, yes, it was affecting him because ultimately he had to have a surgery. None of that was really on the table, you know, in season. So I think all things can be true. Was it bothering him to a level that was getting to a height of concern for us? In season, the answer is no. Why is that? Player says it wasn't bothering him at that point. His physical testing was coming back strong. You know, we did an MRI that showed some old stuff in there. You know, Ahmad recommended we can do a shot, you know, and, you know, you banged it, you know, falling on it, diving on it. That seemed to take care of it. You forget about it. Struggles keep happening. You know, conversations between your player and your trainer. These players, first and foremost, are super powers, you know, they're superpower, they're superhuman beings, where they, the things that bother us physically, you know, in a massive way, I don't think these alpha dogs, for instance, it bothers them as much. They don't feel things as much. Maybe it's adrenaline, maybe it's just they're so strong as oxes in so many different ways that it doesn't, you know, present itself to the point where they got to complain in a loud way. And so I know when asks, follow-up asks, including from my chair, is this a problem? I'll deal with our head trainer, you know, and his staff and the player. No, I actually feel better than I've ever felt the entire season. All right. You know, and this is during performance lapses. So I think it could be true on both ways. I think that, you know, I know people suggest maybe we underplayed the injury. I don't think that's true. I think we were trying to be as honest with our fans and our media who communicate to the fans, what our medical staff, doctors, trainers, and then, you know, you treat complaints from the player. And if the complaints are, no, this is not an issue, I feel good, blah, 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 you know, you deal with it. You treat the patient, treat the MRI. But shot hit sometime, I can't remember when it was, May, June. He really responded well. You forget about it. Then all of a sudden the performance, you know, is spotty throughout the year. Continues of highs, lows. Now he's getting another shot. I think they repeated the MRI again. And like, listen, if, you know, we can look at this in the winter, and if this continues to be a problem, then we'll have to be open and look into surgery. So as the year goes on, and he's diving all over the place, kind of, you know, irritating it maybe at times, it starts to move up the tree of wasn't a concern, isn't a concern, to maybe it is a concern, and it's still speculative. He didn't have the season that we expected, that he expected, that we believe he's capable of. Now, after the surgery, you know, I don't even know if Aaron Boone's had a chance to talk to the doctors about it or not, but the surgery, when you opened him up, the cleanup was more severe than the MRI would result. So, which again leads me to, do I think it now probably is more of an impact than it was, even though it's not his throwing shoulder? Probably, you know, but speculative. But, you know, I don't think, I'm just trying to answer the best I can. I've dealt with for years in the position of experience that I've had, where you deal with players and you respond to them, and if they, you know, you get assurances that that's not an issue, or I don't feel anything, it's not a contributing factor, I don't feel it with my swing or what have you. But his performance swings were significant this year, more so than, and because of that, and now, you know, with a surgery involved, with the post-surgery saying it was more significant than the MRI repaired. It doesn't show, it doesn't change the recovery time, but I do think that, in fairness to the player, who I don't think he was misleading anybody, I think he's telling you in real time what he feels and how he feels, and I think our trainers follow up with their physical testing, and then the MRIs come in play, and then the doctor, you know, medicine can, you know, it's kind of an inexact science. You do a protocol to try to walk through and dissipate a problem, and then, but if it continues to persist, then ultimately you have to do more and hit it with more. And this one eventually led to and then the season ended, a surgery that turned out to be a little bit more significant than you know, if we were doing this presser in May, June, August, September. So,
you still see him as your starting shortstop once he's back?
I mean, I think so. I think, you know, I believe in the player still. I think we believe in the player. It doesn't mean that we don't play with, on any level, all aspects of roster assessments. You know, he's 24 years old. I don't think New York stage is too big for him. It's just, it's still finding his way. And, you know, the age is something that, you know, there's a lot of value to reminding yourself about that. Yeah, you see, whether it's in our sport, you know, players that eventually figure it out, you know, as they go down the line. You watch the NFL, these number one pick quarterbacks that franchise put everything in, you know, shortstops, kind of a quarterback position, center field, catcher in baseball. And you see that, you know, players that you know, you expect a lot, you know, at early on for seasons. But then they're not living up to their growing pains, so to speak, as they go through getting their sea legs under them somewhere, and then they wind up in a different environment, and now they're leading their teams. And I'm sure there are various different reasons for it, but I think Booney was talking about it with you guys earlier. It's like, sometimes this isn't linear. It's also not guaranteed, and that's why it's fair to always assess what you have, and is it good enough, and do you need to replace it, and can you find better, and all that stuff. And that, I promise you, always takes place. But I believe in the player. I think we believe in the player. I think the injury probably contributed to the performance season that he wound up having, more so than we would have thought, based on our intimate involvement with him and his and our medical staff, and that, how that played out, and the facts are the facts. He had to have a surgery that's going to take him down. He's not going to be ready for spring training, which therefore will put him out to start the season. He'll be on the IL. and be ready sometime in April, maybe, you know, worst case scenario, May. But he's going to get a late start just because of that. So somebody will be playing shortstop, not him opening day. But that doesn't, you know, that's not a good thing for us either. You know, I think missing him and not having him here as an option for us to be, you know, there is a problem. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting a fixed Anthony Volpe back so, you know, he can be deployed and help us win games.
BT and Sal and Fanny listening to Brian Cashman drone on. So we'll keep it going here, see what else he has to say.
No.
So understanding that you haven't had those conversations with your people, do you look at third base right now as a set position with McMahon, or do you think he's best utilized, given some of the splits against left-handed pitching, in a platoon or mix-and-match kind of situation? Or is he your everyday third baseman?
I mean, I think I'm happy we have him. I think he's our everyday third baseman, but I also, you know, because of splits, it's always, like, I'd like to make sure I can provide our manager with a lot of choices so he can mix and match the best way he possibly can, and finding right-handed bats in this game today is more difficult than ever, but, and I, you know, you want to have the balance and stuff, so, you know, we'll get to all that, but he was a real positive addition, and we were talking about earlier with Deisha's question about, you know, run prevention, and clearly he makes your pitching staff better in a significant way. It was a great defensive play there, and you never know when you bring players to New York how they respond in this environment, and you know, he was great for us, and so I'm glad that's not a position per se I have to worry about moving forward. That doesn't mean we can't complement it, but again, we haven't had those meetings.
And Boone mentioned discussing other potential roles for Pat Rosler. Do you expect him to stay with the organization?
Not sure. I mean, I had difficult conversations with J-Ro, our head guy, currently interviewed in Minnesota. There might be some opportunities. I've known Six for a long time. For those who don't know, Pat Rosler's nickname is Six, so I've known Six for a long time, and he's been a real contributing member of this for baseball and for this organization for a long time. And if there's a potential different role, you know, we'll talk through it maybe. But I think we also got to find out whether we have a head hitting coach at the same time. You know, we had Hurst's evolution and earning the right to get up here. He was offered a major league position elsewhere, and J-Ro, you know, was all in, like, yeah, he's good, we should keep him. And then after the Minnesota request came in, you know, so that's how that dance move worked. So we'll see, let the J-Ro stuff play out. And currently Minnesota is the only team that's asked, but, you know, always hear rumblings other teams might do the same. So who knows, because a lot of managerial vacancies out there.
Have you had any other requests on Rojas? I had one request
on Luis Rojas, Baltimore. Doesn't mean there won't be more. Again, there's a lot of vacancies out there. So right now, and feels like there's more than normal. But you guys probably keeping score would know that more than me, but feels like there's a lot more manager vacancies than our usual.
Chris, to the left.
Judge will be 34 next season. When you start thinking about crafting the roster, how much do you consider that his prime years might be coming to an end soon? And does that cause you to be more aggressive in maximizing that window?
I don't look at it as, I mean, I just look at trying to put the best team we can with what's available at the time, from within, from outside, from maintaining what we've got. Like, you get big examples like making a trade for Bellinger, or small examples like Tendler and Trent Grisham, who became a lot different player for us this year than what we bargained for. I don't look at it as we have to maximize this or that. I feel like we're trying to put the best team we can on a year in and year out basis all the time, you know, and that involves older players that are obviously, and younger players. So you just need the mix. So,
and then with Carlos needing a procedure done, does that cause you to explore the starter market, both free agency and trade?
Don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know the. Certainly, he's been, the last 2 years have been really good for us with Carlos. He's done a great job. Unfortunately, he had to have the surgery, to get some cleanup on that, and it's going to have him start the season late. So he'll start the season on the IL, and he'll be ready, either in sometime in April or early May at the latest, and along as long as there's no other issues that pop up in between. But, you know, but I don't know what that means to, you know, where we put our remaining resources in and how we reinforce. Do we have enough from within? Do we have to go outside to augment? You're never going to have enough pitching, so I don't know. But clearly the good thing is he's coming back, so I have to make sure there's room on that roster when he does. So
you're listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1, New York.
There were the loose objects in the bone spur that would need surgery.
I think a lot of these guys all have stuff going on at all times, and some of them it's just dormant for years, and other of them start to create issues. So I can't answer when that started becoming something. I knew at some point, like, it might be something that would have to be dealt with. It just comes down to, you know, their level of complaint versus doctors' assessments and recommendations of that. Ah, we can just leave this. This isn't an issue to deal with right now. Or if it does become enough of a problem, we can, you know, get in there. And so I think this all comes after the postseason, end of the season, you know, physical assessments. So I think if this presser was 3 weeks ago, and I wouldn't have had a surgery on my mind for Carlos Rodon taking him out at the beginning of next year. But it's also not surprising given the job that he does. So,
and as you weigh multi-year contract commitments this offseason, do you have to factor in, or if so, how, the possibility there might be a cap phasing in 28 or large hikes in tax rates starting in 27?
That's above my pay grade. It's business as usual as far as I'm concerned. And every time I've ever dealt with Hallstein Renner, he's like, just bring whatever to me and whatever gets presented to you, and whether it's from agents or if it's trade acquisitions or what have you. So that's how we'll, you know, continue to roll. But yeah, I'm thinking about 26, not 27.
Take one or two more, Dave.
Cash, that the last two off seasons for you guys were kind of big move driven. You got Juan Soto 2 years ago. Last off season was kind of the pivot from him and bring in Bellinger and some other guys. Do you see that the framework going into this offseason as a championship framework with this team, or do you think there's other big moves that need to be made to kind of get you guys past the division series and back into a World Series? I know you have Cole coming back. And
I think we have a lot of quality that is currently here and on the come, but the job is always to try to find ways to get it better. Because whatever it looks like right now, you're going to wind up with injuries, surprising underperformance, just like you can get surprising better performance that came out of nowhere. That's all part of it. Job is to collect as much talent as you possibly can that you think can help, you know, your manager and his coaching staff and that team navigate, you know, a really difficult long season and find a way to punch your way through and give yourself a chance to take a shot at another championship. So I think we have a lot of good, but the job is for us to try to make it better.
Greg and Eric.
You mentioned Hal. How would you describe what your conversations have been like with him in the aftermath of getting knocked out and how he's kind of taken it all?
Yeah, I mean, he's frustrated, disappointed. You know, he wants it. He wants a championship here, another one, just like, you know, for him and his family. So I'll speak on behalf of Hal and his family. They, I think, believed, you know, not just recently, but many times that we had a chance to do something. But, you know, it's not a given, you know. Yeah, if it was a given, and people who had that championship caliber gene that had punched through, if that gene was repetitive, and I'm not talking about a gene from handed down from father to son, like, you know, the great George Steinbrenner who belongs to the Hall of Fame, to his son, I'm talking about a gene of winning. You know, there's many a great player that maybe they punched through one time, or many a great manager that's punched through and won something. And we've done it, and Hal Steinbrenner's done it, but it doesn't guarantee, it's not a given that you're going to continually do it. You can have a good process. All you can count on is try to put together a strong process, really good people, try to get as many quality players that care and are committed and can stay healthy and play to the best of their abilities, you know, for 6 months and then into the different season, which is the postseason, and then and keep trying to do it again and again and again and again and again. And so he's frustrated because he knows, you know, opportunity lost. I think for all of us, you know, I think whether you're a player putting the uniform on or you're in the front office, you know, people might get surprised at times. I'm more focused on the ones that got away. Like, yes, I've won some World Series, but the ones that I feel there's a lot of them I feel like we should have won, you know, could have won, you know, but it is tough. It is really difficult to do, and it's easier to talk through or what have you. But actually, for those guys in the competition, it's, you know, it's obviously something that we aspire to do once again, and in some cases aspire to do for the first time. So whether it's controlling emotions, whether it's, you know, being at your best at the most important time on any given at bat and on any given pitch, and stringing that all together. That is what we continue to, fight for and try to find our way through it. And then trying to walk and talk through it after the fact is, you know, something we'd like to avoid. So hopefully next year we'll find a way.
Eric.
Brian, what makes Aaron the right person to continue in his post as manager?
I think Aaron does, you know, again, what I care about from a managerial point is, it's our job to put together the talent and provide the team. It's their job to decide the lineups, who you're putting in the rotation, who's coming in from the pen, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's just general. But more specifically, managing these personalities, especially in the city of New York, which is a pressure cooker, New York, Philly, and Boston, you've heard me talk about, is radically different than elsewhere. And managing through that, I care about the work that goes behind the scenes. Like, whatever decision you're making, are you just making an informed decision? You know, have you spent the time and the effort with your personnel? And anybody can dissect, and I don't think that's what happened in this postseason, but anybody can dissect managerial moves and decisions and, like, listen, you can go left or you can go right. And it's either going to be working or it won't work. It could be a good decision that didn't work out, or it could be a bad decision that did work out, or it could be a bad decision that went wrong or a good decision that went right. And it's up for everybody to debate. It's these managerial jobs are so hard, so difficult. So I try to keep it simple. Are they making, do they have a good process? Are they spending the time to assess the opponent, the scouting reports, the numbers, the players that they have, and know who's capable of what at what time, and trying to do, if they do all that work, you know, I feel like you got a good one. He's had a lot of success in the regular season. He's had some success in the postseason, and that's, you know, there's a lot of things for him to be proud of. I think he's a good manager. I think he's, you know, one of the better managers. And I think, like, in this environment, if he was out there right now, he'd get a job rather quickly. But I also know, because of our environment, he's someone that can be second guessed 10 million times over. And I don't care who you put in that would be the same, you know, whoever else would be there. I trust him. I think he's a good man. I think he works his tail off. I think he's got, you know, good people that help support him, and he's got good players. And with all that, it doesn't guarantee the outcome we're all fighting for. But the guarantee is always that we're going to be fighting for it, and that's the one thing that the Steinbrenner family provides for this city, is constantly having a team that you can put forth that you can believe is capable of a championship, and that's the job that we'll be doing again once again next year. I'd rather be talking about a World Series title right now, but I'm not, you know, but the championship caliber intent is always there. So, and I do think I think we have a good manager, and I think he cares, and I think he works hard, and I think he's got good people, and I think we have good players, and we're going to try it again.
Last one, Chris.
Is Spencer Jones a consideration of making the opening day roster, and how do you evaluate where he stands?
I mean, we're going to talk through all that. I think he's put himself in the conversation that he, at least, you know, it's a fair question for you to ask. I think how it plays out depends on how our winter plays out. He'll certainly come to spring training, and he's earned, without a doubt, the look and the competition. But again, it all depends on, you know, how many opportunities exist based on the decisions that come our way this winter. But he's put himself in a position, you know, to be considered a potential everyday major leaguer in 2026. But we'll see.
Okay.
All right, there you have it. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. A lot there with Boone first and then Cashman. When we come back, we'll dissect it all. BT and Sal on the Fan. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.